you have the potential to develop and grow in faith. And this kind of faith is the same faith that created the worlds. It created what you see, the universe, the stars, the moons, the earth, the planets, the hills, the flowers. You have a measure of that, the faith that created all of that. You don't have an angel's faith. You don't have another human being's faith. You have a measure, the same measure of the God kind of faith that every human being has given who receives Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. Somebody say glory to God. Romans 12, 3 says, tells us, "For I say through the grace given unto me that every man that among you not to think of himself more highly that he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the what? The measure of faith." Everybody say the measure of faith. Principle number two, we are reminded in verse 22 and verse 24 of Mark 11, we just read, that we learn from these verses that real genuine faith works both by saying it and praying it. It works both by saying it and praying it. Amen. And so if we say it, that's the first thing mentioned in verse 23. And if we pray it, it will work either way. But if you pray it, you still have to say it. Praise God. Because you have to say, in Jesus' name, amen. You finish praying, but you still have to manage your mouth. Amen. And you still have to maintain your confession. Praise God. What you're believing to receive from God. All right, principle number three, we also learn that the fundamentals of faith teach us that the most basic law of faith is to believe with your heart and to say with your mouth. Now, we said the door to the supernatural swings on two hinges, believing and speaking. So if I say I'm in faith, that means my heart is fixed and confident in what it's believing from the word of God or from a word from God. And then I'm speaking, that means it's strong enough to move my mouth. I'm saying what I believe. First, faith believes with the heart. Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believe is an attitude of faith. It's an attitude of confidence of God and in God and in his word. Praise God. And then secondly, it speaks or confesses with the mouth. Confession builds the road over which faith carries its mighty cargo, E.W. Kenyon once said. And of course, speaking or saying is the essential or initial act of faith. So even though you pray it, you still have to say it. And you pray out loud, so you're still saying it. Our faith must be strong enough to move our mouths, or it will never be strong enough to move our mountain. Mountains representing something big, large, seemingly impossible, and, you know, improbable of ever changing or moving. So, in essence, faith works for anybody, and faith will work on anything. There's nothing impossible for God. All things are possible to him or her who believes. Amen? There's nothing too difficult for the Lord. There's nothing too hard for the Lord to deal with that you and I will encounter in this life. Amen. And so we said, if you're, Kenneth Hagin once said, if you're not happy with what you possess in life, then check out what you've been saying. Why? Because the principle is, one of the sub-principles is, what you say is what you get, and what you've got is what you said. Jesus didn't say you say what you have. He said you can have what you say. Now, principle number four said, it tells us your faith level determines your victory level. Your faith level. Now, what is your faith? Principally and fundamentally, it is what? Believing and speaking. Your faith level determines your victory level. So a lot of people say, well, I'm not having any victory over this XYZ. Maybe a temptation, maybe a trial, maybe trouble in their body. Maybe it's trouble in your mind. Maybe it's depression or discouragement that you're dealing with. You have a lot of toxic or negative emotions. Well, your faith level determines your victory level. Because if you first of all, faith has to be in your heart. You can't just say any old thing. You got to say what you believe in your heart. It has to be in your heart first. Do you believe it in your heart? And is it strong enough to be released out of your mouth? Your faith level determines your victory level. Somebody said, glory to God. See, 1 John 5:4 said, every child of God defeats this evil world. Who? The children of God defeat this evil world. And how do we do it? We achieve this victory through our faith, through your faith. It's according to your faith, it's unto you. How much victory, blessings, praise God, and triumphs you experience is not up to God, it's up to you. So if you need victory in your family, your faith level determines your victory level. If you need victory in your physical body, you've been hurting or in pain, persistent pressure on your whatever your body parts are by sickness and disease or infirmities, your faith level determines your victory level. If you can't sleep at night, you can't focus, you can't concentrate, you got things going on with your mind, your memories falling apart, your faith level determines your what? Y'all getting the picture here. Praise God. If your kids are acting up, if you don't have a household, your household could be described as H-E-double-L. Come on now. Your faith level determines your victory. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through what? Our faith. God gave you the same measure of the God kind of faith, the mountain moving faith, hallelujah, and what you do with it is not up to God, it's up to you. Number five, principle number five, Jesus is the source of our faith. He will help you develop if we put his word first place. See, God's not going to put you in his development, faith development program. The Lord's not going to put you in it until you receive Jesus as Lord and the author and developer of your faith. And, of course, with that comes, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. In other words, you got to put the word first. That means I got to decide that my worries is not going to be first. My woes is not going to be first. My wicked thoughts are not, and that evil imaginations are not going to be first. Come on now. The word has got to be first. Lord, I surrender to you. I yield to you as my Lord and the author and developer of my faith. And I choose to put the word first. That means if I see it in the word, if it's revealed to my heart from the word, or you've spoken it to my heart as a word, come on now, I'm going to put that first. I'm not going to put what I see and what I feel first. I'm going to put the word first. Hebrews 12:2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on what? Jesus. The champion who initiates and perfects. Ooh, I like that. He initiates and perfects our faith. Because, see, imperfect receiving is basically a byproduct of imperfect faith. Man, that's good enough to hashtag. Those of you, the Twitter. Hallelujah. And that's not politically incorrect either. So praise God. So you can hashtag. If your receiving is imperfect, then your faith is imperfect. You got to make an adjustment. Kenneth E. Hagin was on the bed of sickness, had all those diseases in his body. He had partial paralysis, 17 years old. He had a deformed heart. He had incurable blood diseases. And the Holy Spirit told him, hey, you do believe, but as far as you know, because faith is based on what? Knowledge. Faith is based on revealed knowledge. You don't know enough, because faith is based on the knowledge of God and his word and his will for your life. Where what faith begins, where the will of God is known. Known by revelation. That means he saw Mark 11:24 and he got frustrated, threw his Bible across the room and said, I do believe, Lord. He said, you do believe as far as you know. He said, you have to believe that you receive. That means he got to believe that you got it before you get it. If you're going to use faith by praying, you got to believe that you received. And you equals you will have. When do I have it? Once you believe that you received it. When do I get it? After you believed that you received it. Now, that's illogical to the mind, but faith is not based on logic. Faith overrides all human logic and human reasoning. That's why he didn't talk to us, Jesus didn't, about head faith. Because you base that on facts and logic and what you see and feel and experience at the moment. You got to base this on heart faith. That means I believe God, I trust God more than what I trust what I see and feel. Hallelujah. Are y'all here today? He said, but for the because of the joy waiting for him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and now seated down at the right hand, seated in the place of honor besides God's throne. See, you can always inquire the Lord and ask if your faith is not working or connecting to God's power and anointing. If you're not seeing any results, you'll seek the Lord as what to do. What am I doing wrong? Because if we're open to correction, then we'll get direction. But you got to yield and respond to the Lord and yield to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm not getting enough. My money's funny. The money's not coming in. I'm not getting results on my tithing and giving. Well, then you got to make corrections in your faith and your obedience. You got to be open to further light, further instruction, further direction, further correction from the Lord. Hallelujah. And as we said, Jesus is the way, the Holy Spirit, the house. Principle number six, our faith won't work if we don't walk in love and walk in forgiveness. Mark 11, 25, 26, what we read earlier, and whenever you are stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Anything against anyone, forgive them. Now, we said before, how do you know you got anything against anyone? You're talking about them. You're talking about it, the situation that hurt you, or the person that harmed you or is harassing you or hindered you. If you're repeating it, if you're reciting it, then you're inciting unforgiveness. That's another hashtag. If you've recited it, then you're inciting unforgiveness. You're creating the unforgiveness blockage. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespass. So your faith can't outdo your forgiveness. In other words, your faith life and your faith walk will never rise above higher and rise above than your love walk and your forgiveness walk. Amen? Why? Faith works by love. Faith is not self-centered. It doesn't work by self-centeredness, selfishness, or being self-absorbed. Faith works by what? Love. Amen. And Kenneth E. Hagin once said, a step out of love is a step out of God. Why? Unforgiveness is the number one thing that hinders God's people from receiving from him. If you're harboring and holding to that tiny little grudge, tiny little offense, that bitterness, that resentment, that animosity, ill will, malice, spite, hatred. Come on now. Your faith won't work in an unforgiving heart. Amen. Our faith won't work if we don't forgive. This is because an offended heart stifles faith and blocks answers to prayer, as we clearly see and explain by the Lord. Amen. Now here's the principle number seven. Our growing in faith and being developed in faith is witness and evidence by three aspects of our life of faith. Our growing in faith and our being developed in faith is witness and evidence by three aspects of our life of faith. First is our prayer of faith. Everybody say prayer of faith. Prayer of faith is outlined in John 16, 23, 24. I'm reading out a New Century Version. It says, in that day you will not ask me for anything. So some people say, well, you know, who do I pray to? Well, you don't pray to Jesus. Now, you praise Jesus, but you don't pray to Jesus. Other than the new covenant, we do not pray to Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray to the Father, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. He's talking about the day we live in now. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you anything you ask for. How? In my name. Until now, you have not asked anything in my name, because he was walking with his disciples on earth. So they just went up, Jesus, they just asked him everything, because he was the will of God in action. But he's telling them how to pray after he leaves. And he's telling us, teaching us how to pray now. Ask and you will receive, that your joy will be the fullest possible joy. Isn't that good? Now listen to James chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Now everybody ought to be praying the prayer of faith on a consistent, regular basis. If not for yourself, you should be praying it for others. He says, any one of you suffering, what does that just mean? It means being ill-treated by people or suffering evil from circumstances. In other words, some bad thing has come into your life experience. If you're suffering, he says, the remedy is to start praying. Now, he says here also, he said, if anyone cheerful, let him sing song. If anyone of you sick, let him call for who? The elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the, what? Save the sick. What kind of prayer? The prayer of faith will save, or in other words, this word means make whole the sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if they committed any sins, he will be forgiven. So the prayer of faith is a prayer to get things or change things. The prayer of faith is to get things. Now, everyone in this room and everyone online, you know that you need to get things and change things. Now, in this case, you get them from who? Your Father God. Because if you operate in faith, God becomes your source and supply of everything you need. If you're not praying first about everything, then you need to make an adjustment in your mindset, in your perspectives, because God should be your source and only source of everything you need. I need this. Go to the Lord in prayer. You ask for the Lord. You get in faith, and then you pray in faith to either get that thing or to change something in your life sphere of influence. See, prayer is more important than getting a college degree or college education. Learning how to pray. So if we're growing, if we're developing in faith, then we're learning how to pray the prayer of faith. We're getting highly developed on believing to receive things from God. For our personal life, for our family, for our financial needs, for our relational challenges or tensions that may be experienced, and for our futures. Your faith should be on the line and at work every single day. See, we simply ask in faith for anything that is according to God's will and God's word. The Bible says in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if he hears us, we know that we have the confidence that we have the petitions that we have requested or desired from him. For our life, for our family, for our sphere of influence. For example, you know you must believe it's God's will for you to receive your healing needed, or to change your body from sick to healed. What did he say? The prayer of faith shall save the sick. So additionally, God said if you need to get wisdom, in James chapter 1, 5, you need to ask for it in faith and not doubt. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. The second witness or evidence is your profession of faith. Everybody say profession of faith. So the profession of faith is found in Hebrews chapter 4, 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast. Everybody say hold fast. Our confession. Hold fast your confession. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Hebrews 10, 23 tells us, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without what? Wavering. For he is faithful, that promise. Here's another one. 1 Timothy 6, 12 through 13. Fight the good fight of faith. Listen to this. Lay hold of it on eternal life, for which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you, in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed, listen to this, a good confession before Pontius Pilate. And just a little note on this word, hold fast. It's a word, it's a double, actually double word. It just means to hold. The actual word is hold. And so when he says hold, he said put a double grip on it, on your lip. Don't let it slip. You hold fast. You hold on. You don't let it go. What, Pastor? Your confession of faith. What you believe or what you are believing to receive. Listen to what I'm saying there. You got to hold fast your confession of what you believe or what you're believing to receive. Now, many people confess their feelings today. You see it all over social media. They all tell us how you're feeling today. And you put a little emoji up and say, I'm feeling sad or blue or down. And people want to express their feelings. Well, that's not what he's talking about. Some people confess their fears. So they unconsciously and consciously say things like, I'm afraid to go down to that grocery store. I'm afraid to go outside the house. I'm afraid somebody's going to breathe on me and give me the coronavirus. They're confessing their fears. Many people, and sometimes, unfortunately, we get religiously brainwashed to always confess our failures. We talk about our sin. We talk about our sin problem. We even walk around sin conscience. When we're in Christ and we're not supposed to stay in crisis. Amen. But we confess our failure. We always come in with gloom, despair, and agony on me. We always got an evil report of unbelief and doubt and fear. In other words, we're confessing our failures. But, you know, there's only one primary verse applicable to New Testament Christians about our failures. He said in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody say, glory to God. Jesus has already cleansed the sin problem. There's nothing in us that the blood can't cleanse. There's nothing in me that the blood can't cure. Praise God. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin, its forms and manifestations. What can wash away my sins? Oh, nothing but you repent quickly and get rid of the sin situation and stop confessing your failures. Some religions teach you to come always confess to a person, confess your wrongs, always got to be honest about your struggles. The New Testament doesn't major on the confession of failure. The New Testament majors on the confession of faith. Daily, we should be confessing a good confession of faith. For example, Jesus is Lord. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. So when we take communion, we should be declaring, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Jesus Christ is Lord over my life. Jesus Christ is Lord over my family. Come on now. Jesus Christ is Lord over my finances. Jesus Christ is Lord over my physical body. He is Lord. And when Jesus rose from the dead, He had, like we shared Wednesday night, he had absolute mastery over death in all its phases. When we say Jesus is Lord, we're saying Jesus has absolute mastery over death in all its phases. Come on now. Hell and all its hosts. Come on now. The devil and Satan and all his works. Come on now. And sin and all its consequences. We're saying Jesus is Lord. Woo! Glory to God. We ought to be confessing the blood of Jesus. We honor the blood today, Lord. The blood cleanses me from all sin, its forms, the presence of sin, the power of sin, and the penalty of sin. All sin, its forms and manifestation. It washes me clean. I'm blood washed. I'm blood blessed. I'm blood bought. Come on now. I'm blood bold in Jesus' name. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. We ought to be slinging blood all over the place, activating the power of that blood. See, on Old Testament, they used to plead the blood and sprinkle blood. Now, I mean, you went to church, you got blood on you. When they read the book, they sprinkle blood on you. That's what it says in Hebrews. Praise God. And so today, we apply with the blood of Jesus with the hyssop of our tongue. We confess the blood. What are we saying? I have faith in the blood. What the blood can do. In other words, I rest my case on the basis of the blood. What Jesus accomplished in the blood of his cross. Come on now, in the blood of his, when he stripped hell and all the demons and devils from all their power and all their stuff, all their armor weapons, he stripped them all. He spoiled principalities and powers, come on now, and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, praise God. And then it's the blood of his resurrection, because he took that blood, same blood in the heavenly holy of holies and obtained eternal redemption for us. We profess that. We confess that every day and in every way. See, the centerpiece of the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we confess that the same blood that what it did in heaven, God is doing through the Holy Spirit in my heart. Come on now. What the blood is doing in heaven, what it has done in heaven, God is doing it in my heart. So we confess these great confessions. We hold fast, and holding on to our confession means that we say the same thing God's word says about you as about your situation. When people come up there, how's it going? Then you say what you're supposed to say, what you believe. Don't say what you feel. Don't say the facts. Some people are good fact reporters. All you're doing is create more news, more noise, and bringing more narrative on the scene of your life, the scenery of your life. Don't be a fact confessor. Don't be a feeling confessor. Don't be a fear confessor. Don't be a failure confessor. Be a faith confessor. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You hold it. You hold on to it. You say what God says about you. Don't say what you see. Don't say what you feel. Don't say what you're experiencing at the moment. Say what you believe. Hallelujah. That's how you can tell that someone's growing and developing in their life of faith. How they're talking. Amen. See, you don't change it. You hold on to your confession means you don't change it. You don't contradict it. You don't cancel it with your words. Some people get right out of prayer, get right out of church, and start talking ugly and contradictory to the word of God and the will of God for their lives. Don't let your words be stout against God. Don't let your words come up and block God's blessings, his victory, and his triumph in your life. Because Jesus said you have what you say. Third, how can we tell? What is the witness of your faith growing and developing? The praise of faith. Everybody say the praise of faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 through 22, he says he did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Come on now. And therefore, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So we said fully persuaded and fully convinced faith is a faith that gives glory to God. Giving glory means praise and thanks. And we've said this many times. Doubt does what? Complains, worries, and is sad. So if you're complaining, you're not in faith. You're moving in the doubt channel. And doubt is fear-based. We judge God when we doubt. We judge his veracity, his reliableness. We judge his faithfulness when we doubt him. Doubt complains, worries, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. How do you know I'm in faith? Believing to receive or faith believing. I'm rejoicing, I'm giving thanks, and I'm glad. Remember Dr. Lillian Bignon, and we shared last week in her book, The Healing Power, His Healing Power, excuse me, her book entitled His Healing Power. We can stand, she was talking about the praise cure, we can stand on God's word for salvation and healing after we have met God's conditions and grounded every weapon of rebellion. Remember she said that? And we can praise our way through to perfect manifested victory. Come on now, just lift your hands and praise God. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to your word. We thank you for your faithfulness to your word. There's one guy, Pastor Mark Hankins jokingly says, he's a pastor friend of mine. He said, every time I call him, he answers the phone this way. He said, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hi, Mark. And I started picking that up because I thought it was so funny. But we got to get our praise on. The principle is, if you praise, you'll be raised. If you complain, you'll remain. You want to remain in misery? Mess? With your mind going haywire? Come on now. You want to live in the miraculous. You got to start praising God. And shouting while the walls are still up, while the problem's looking at you all around. Come on now. When defeat is squared you in like a box, four walls around you, you still got to lift up your voice and thank the Lord. And praise the Lord. When it looks impossible, you got to shout the victory. You got to praise God like you believe that you received the answer. Amen? And she said, I call this the praise cure, and it never fails. And when the praises is an outflow of a heart resting on God's unchanging word. So let's close this up with this faith under fire. Because if it's not under fire, it will be under fire very soon. Now remember this, friends. God doesn't bring the fire or the trial or the temptation to you, but he does use it. He uses it as a development and a proving of our faith. Now here's think of it as school terms. If you pass the test or the trial, it's because of you have grown in your faith internally, and God can promote you to a new level spiritually. Just like you do in the testing in school. I know it's a little different this year because of homeschooling and because of social distance and all of the other stuff. But some people graduated this year. Well, you don't graduate to the next level until you've passed tests, until you've completed your assignment at that particular level or class. The same thing in the spirit. God's not going to promote you if you have inward poverty, meaning that you haven't grown and developed. You've not progressed. You've digressed. Secondly, God's not going to allow you to promote because you can't pass the test if you've plateaued. That means I'm at the same level of faith as I was last week, last month, or last year. See, it's critical that we all pay attention to our faith life. Because the fires will come. The tests, temptations, and trials and troubles will come. But how we pass them is up to us to develop our faith. We have to grow our faith by feeding our faith and then exercising in faith. There's no victory in your faith without a trial or a trouble that comes against your faith. Without conflict, there's no victory. Some people just hate conflict. I hate trouble. I hate problems. And they want to go bury their head in the sand and act like a worm somewhere and say, I'll wait till all this, or maybe Jesus will rapture us before then. I'm afraid to face any challenge. Well, you're always going to stay small in your faith. You're always going to have little faith or no faith. And some people get to this Americanized, excuse me if I'm talking, I'm not talking ugly about it. I love America. America is my country. Amen. I love our, the way we got, it's not perfect at all. Praise God. That's why we got to pray for everybody. Praise God. But there's a lot of challenges in America. But people want comfort and conveniences. And we call that the American dream. No, the American, God's dream is different than the American dream. Well, I'm not going to get too political. Praise God. But anyway, let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials and the genuineness of your faith. Listen to this. Being much more precious than gold. That means gold is tried by fire. Guess what your faith is? The fiery trials try your faith. And gold, when it goes through the fire, or silver, is purified and it becomes more precious or valuable. But God is saying through Peter, by the Holy Spirit, that your faith under fire is more valuable than gold being more purified and refined under fire. You got to see this. Though it be tested by what? Fire may be found to praise, to the praise, honor, and glory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here he goes. He said, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So here's some points we need to carry out. The bridge between believing and receiving is rejoicing. What do I do after I said Jesus? You ought to be rejoicing every day. If you're not rejoicing, that's point number two. If you stop rejoicing, you stop receiving. Rejoicing is a harvesting factor. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Point number three, rejoicing and giving thanks is the first imperative when your faith is under fire. Rejoicing and giving thanks is the first imperative when your faith is under fire. It didn't say reveling and crying and complaining. And say, oh, I can't believe this happened to me. I can't believe this is going on in my life. I can't understand how this happened. Wrong response. That's a fear response. That's a feeling response. That's not a faith response. James chapter 1, verse 2. Listen. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 8. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now the New Living says, dear brethren and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, listen to this, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, God didn't say, it is a joy, but this you must count it joy. Count it as an opportunity to greatly rejoice and greatly have great joy. Praise God. For you know that when your faith is tested, here it is again, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, this word trials or troubles or temptations, as we've read in different translations here, is the putting to proof by the experience of adversity. The putting to proof by the experience of adversity. So it means it's putting to the test what you really believe by bringing pressure and problems of circumstances and contradictory situations into your life experience. So it's putting to proof what you really believe. Am I going to trust God and what he said in his word? Or am I going to trust what I feel, see, and experience right now in my life? This word adversity, because it put into proof by the experience of adversity, means pressure. One word, pressure, basically. It is fear-based and fear-loaded pressure. We've heard the colloquial expression, pressure bus pipes. Some people can't and shouldn't. Some people like to operate under pressure, but we never should respond to the stimulus of pressure. The pressure that the problem brings, financial pressure, then it makes people respond certain ways, because some people go out and figure, oh, I can't trust God for the money, so I got to go out to the payday loan place. I got to go get in debt. I got to go hustle the streets a little bit and get money. I can't trust God. Come on now. That pressure makes you do all kind of stuff. Hallelujah. So we're advised to not make decisions under pressure to relieve the pressure. Because why? Because anytime you make a decision to relieve the pressure, you've blown it. And you're yielding to the devil's stimulus and his input into your life. We gotta make a decision. I'm under pressure. Just get out from under the pressure. Rejoice. That usually remedies the pressure. Because now you can think clearly. Because you can know that this is here on the scene of my life because my endurance, my cheerful endurance, has a chance to grow. Glory to God. This is another opportunity for God to get the glory out of my life. Somebody say glory to God. See, when you let fear in, faith goes out. When fear starts, faith stops. Doubt and complaining is fear-based behavior and responses. Worry and anxiety is our fear-dependent behaviors, and it's a sin, and it lets the devil get in. See, when fear is tolerated, your faith gets contaminated. Amen? You need to understand that this adversity or this trial, this trouble, this temptation you're experiencing right now is a trial of your faith. Your faith is under fire right now. This ain't about you, because you and I aren't all that in a bag of chips. Amen? Where our stuff doesn't stink, you know. You know what I'm talking about. We're thinking we're a legend in our own mind, and then we get victimized, thinking that, hey, you know, why is the devil picking on me? This stuff shouldn't be happening to me. See, faith is not just a prevent all mountains and problems. Faith will definitely remove all mountains and problems. Somebody say glory to God. See, the enemy puts pressure on what you believe. Pressure on your belief system. It's belief systems. Faith is your belief system of investment in the Word of God. And what you believe is your faith system's investment in the Word of God. It is, your life is going to be to you according to your faith. Remember, your faith level determines your what? Victory level. So if you don't change, if you don't contradict, if you don't cancel what you believe, then the enemy can't hold circumstantial resistance against you indefinitely. Then you always say that this too shall pass. This is only a test. I'm going to pass the test. This is another opportunity for God to get the glory out of my life. This is another opportunity for my faith to grow and my endurance to grow and develop, praise God. This is another opportunity where I can prove God's word is true in my life experience. I'm going to stand on the word because he said it, he will do it. If he spoke it, he will make it good. And you thank him for his faithfulness, his word. So we see four imperatives here. First word is count, because these are imperatives to turn our trials into triumph. We count. We consider the trial or occasion an opportunity to rejoice and become joyful. Joy is the serious business of heaven, Andrew Murray once said. We got to see it as serious. He didn't say it is a joy, but he said count it joy. So if you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 problems, let's say 1, finances, 2, my body. 3, my emotions. 4, come on now, family members. And 5, marriage and family. So he said count those as an occasion and opportunity to joy. You got to count them. It's an accounting term. Praise God. Job 5:22 we read last week. You shall laugh at destruction and famine, and you shall not be afraid of the beasts of the field. Number 2, knowing the testing of your faith produces cheerful endurance, and your faith has an opportunity to grow and make progress and receive promotion, perhaps from God. I'm going to another level. Praise God. And see, God, you got to know this. God, know, when you know that God will not allow you to be here in this deal, against this circumstances or this situation that you're in right now, if he knew you could not handle it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that. It says in New Living Translation, this temptation in your life are no different from what others experience. Listen to this. And God is faithful, who will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure it. What is growing? Your endurance. Your faith muscles. It's not, oh, Lord, when is it going to be over? No. No, it is cheerful endurance. Somebody say glory to God. And so the first thing you know is God wouldn't allow me to be here if he didn't know I can handle it. You have the right perspective. You have the right optics and the right outlook on the situation. See, the devil tempts, troubles, and tests us to make us bitter. But God uses the enemy's temptations, troubles, and trials that are arrayed against us to make us better. The devil wants to make you bitter. God wants to use what the devil's using to make you better. He says all things work together for our good, for those who love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, third is let. He said, let patience, cheerful endurance have its perfect work in and on your faith. That is being consistent and constant. That means you are consistently constant and constantly consistent. That means you don't change. See, you can always tell weak Christians or weak faith Christians, they always change when trouble hits their house, hits their relationship. Why? Because they're letting everybody on social media know I'm going through. This is what's happening to me. They're magnifying the devil and what he's doing. They're not magnifying the Lord and what he's doing. They're magnifying the problem. Amen. Well, we just got to pray for those people and help them, encourage them, say, hey, you need to do the faith thing. You don't need to be responding out of fear and out of your flesh. Stop crying, shut up, you know, slap them in love and say, come on, let's get with it. Amen. You too old to be a baby Christian. Get out of the nursery. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. See, you got to be consistent. That means you don't change what you believe. You don't change what you're saying. Amen. And releasing your faith every day. You become, as the scriptures say, profession of faith. You become a professional. Professional are people that get paid for what they do. I mean, some of us make tool around with golf. But if you're not a professional, you only get to do it occasionally and particularly on the weekends. But a professional golfer does it every day. Cold, rain, heat, dark, they're out there working. You got to make your faith life like a professional. I live by faith. I walk by faith and not by sight. Somebody say glory to God. Ask, last one is ask. Ask for wisdom from God. In faith, believing to receive an abundant supply of skillful and godly wisdom. What does wisdom give you? Four things wisdom gives you. I'll just give you those four things and we'll wrap this up. Number one, discretion. Man, we need discretion. It keeps you from being short-circuiting and squandering your faith and from making bad choices. You need discretion because you need to think clearly and not think irrationally and frenetically under fire. Wisdom gives you discernment. Discernment helps you have things from the right perspective. In other words, a spiritual perspective. Amen? You have the right outlook, so you'll have the right outcome. Discernment helps you to stay away from the wrong people that's going to pull you down like an escalator and get you stuck. Or it'll help you go to the right people that's going to help pull you up and get you up and keep you up. Keep your faith up. Praise God. Discernment. Everybody say discernment. So wisdom gives discretion. Wisdom gives discernment. Wisdom gives direction. The Lord will direct our paths and order our steps of faith. In other words, if you don't know what to do, where to go, how to do it, how to apply this, how do I respond to this, Lord? The Lord will give you wisdom that will give you direction. Some people don't know what to do. We all have 24-hour days, but we need direction or what to do with your day. Well, the Lord may have you in the gym and say you need to go in the gym a little extra time and feed your faith more and feed your faith some more, faith food. You need to release your faith more. You need to build your faith up because you're not ready to pray yet. Some people get so panicky and they want to pray right away and they got all this fear and all this panic in their mind and heart. Sometimes you need to wait and get in faith before you release your faith. And then number four, wisdom gives you details. It's the who, the how, the what, the why, the when. Clear, simple, and direct instructions. And then wisdom gives you divine timing. As I said before, don't pray and act ahead of your faith. Some people have acted out ahead of their faith, and they've become shipwrecked in their faith or scattered and shattered in their faith. You can scatter and shatter your faith if you're believing for big healing and you don't have the faith yet in your heart and you try to get out there and just pray any old thing and your faith gets shattered and scattered. If you've got a family member who's sick or in the hospital, don't pray and lay hands on them if you don't have the faith to believe for them and with them in your heart already. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody say thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's get ready to take communion. Let's read this one more time, 1 Peter 8, 9. Without having seen him, you love him. And though you don't even now see him, you believe in him, and you exult and thrill with inexpressible and glorious, triumphant, heavenly joy. At the same time, you receive the result, outcome, consummation of faith, the salvation of your souls. Come on, just lift your hands and thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When your faith...